precious Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are risen. Lord, we just thank you right now in advance for what you've already done on behalf of your people, Lord. Father, we thank you that you continue, Lord, to hold them in your arms. And Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord, that is renewed every morning. We give thanks to you for a new day. And Father, we thank you that we're becoming whole in the very things of God. That everything that is lacking, everything that is missing, Lord, in any void, Lord, let it be filled today. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Look at your name and say, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready, ready? No, like you ready, 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 ready. We be ready, we be ready, we be ready, we be ready. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, are you crossing over? Look to your other neighbor that you like and say, are you crossing over? Look to the neighbor behind you that you never talked to and say, are you crossing over? Ha ha! Woo! Hallelujah! I love it. I love it. I want you to turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11, verse 31. Deuteronomy 11, verse 31. As you're making your way to Deuteronomy 11, 31, I wanted to share this with you because I know we're getting ready to transition over to a new building with Pastor Agent of Compassion Church. And going to a Saturday night service, you know, there's been some challenges with some folks, and I can't make it. It's not, we understand. Trust me. But there's some things that we must do, even though it goes against what our mind says we shouldn't do. Because if we put God first and do what he's telling us to do, he has something on the other side. Do you understand? Our mind can't comprehend exactly what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. But the more that we follow by his spirit and do what he's telling us to do, you step into what he's had in store for you to begin with. Amen? So are you crossing over? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 31 begins reading in this wise. For you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you will possess it and dwell in it. Turn with me now, if you would, go to Joshua 3. Joshua 3, verses 1 through 5. And when you're there, say amen. Joshua 3, verses 1 through 5. When you have it, stomp your feet. When you have it, stomp your feet like you mean it. All right, Joshua 3, verses 1 through 5 reads this way. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they crossed over. So, whoo, hallelujah. So it was after 3 days that the officers went over through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Father, that you are bringing us to a place, oh God, in your divine plan for the kingdom of God. We thank you that we're crossing over in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Crossing over denotes that you're going from one place to another, from one promise that God has given us in his word to the next that he has promised you. God will take you from glory to glory. He doesn't leave you in that place so you become stagnant and comfortable. He will always challenge you so that you can grow and go to that next place. Amen? I want you to look to your neighbor and say, challenges. Say, we're going someplace. So for 40 years, the people of God had wandered in the wilderness, and God delivered them. He demonstrated all kinds of signs and wonders in the wilderness. You remember that? Okay, and I'm going to speak to you in a way, and I don't want to insult your intelligence or your reading, but I do want to just say that God led a people for 40 years in a wilderness experience, and he did signs and wonders to get them out of Egypt. You understand that, right? He turned the Nile into blood. He turned water to blood. He created the frogs, the pestilence, and everything else. But then he also began to do miracle signs and wonders for the people of Israel in this desert season of their life for 40 years. Now, in this particular passage that I'm reading to you when he's speaking to Joshua, do you know that Joshua is the only one, Joshua and Caleb understood and they saw what he had done in the past? Because you have to understand that 40 years in the wilderness, the Israelites, they perished. They didn't cross over. So this is a new emerging generation that didn't see the hand of God. Are you following me? So he's commanding a new leader. Whew, watch this. He's commanding now the one that has come in place of Moses. Moses is dead now. He says to Joshua, now that Moses is dead, I command you to take these people and cross the Jordan. Now, how many of you have been in a place in your walk with God that you begin to see that all kinds of things are happening in your life that you couldn't even imagine how much longer you got to be in it? How many of you have been there before? And then he says, now I'm commanding you to cross over this thing, this river, and take these people that have never seen my blessings. They have never seen my miracle working powers. They've never experienced what you've experienced. Are you following me? All the miracles that were done and all the things that he was doing in Egypt and getting through the wilderness, this generation hadn't experienced it because the older had already passed off. 40 is a representation of a generation. That generation had passed on. Now he's going to the next person, which is Joshua, who happened to witness it all and had been into the land of Canaan. You better hear this. Because when Moses sent spies into Canaan, the promised land, it was two of them that came back that had a different report than everybody else, which was Joshua and Caleb. They had a different spirit. That's what the Bible says. They were of a different spirit. They saw the promise of God, the fruitfulness of God, and in their eyes, they didn't see the giants. They saw the fruit. They saw that God has blessed this land so much that they didn't care how many giants they had to face. Hello? You're going to have some giants in your promised land. But before you can get to your promised land, I want to share with you that what took place with Joshua and these Israelites, they had to leave someplace first. Now, if you find in the scripture here where it reads, in Joshua 3, it says, in verse 1, then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Acacia Grove. Now, you would just think that's a certain region, right? When you read it. But you have to understand that God has symbolisms and meanings in his scripture. And if you just read it as a story, you'll miss exactly what he's trying to tell you. Acacia is defined biblically as a scourging thorn. A scourging thorn. How many of you have picked a rose and it has those thorns in there? It's little, but it hurts so much. I've had rocks fall on my hands or my feet and it hurts, but the little thorn hurts worse. Okay, paper cuts. You ever have a paper cut? You know, you go like this with the envelope and it, oh Lord. It's the little things. It's the little things that can inflict more pain. It's the little things that can do more damage than the bigger things. Right? Now watch this. Coming from Acacia, the scourging. In Genesis 3:18, I'm going to give you just some scripture here so that you can understand why God used this for them to leave Acacia to get down to the Jordan. There's a reason for it. That region of Acacia, they were there for a long time. They had been going through a season for a long time. They had the thorns, the irritation. They had things in their life that were not pleasant. Watch. In Genesis 3:18, it says, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. John 19:2, it says, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. The thorns always represented a curse. Hello? A curse. So when you come across some things that are kind of irritating you, just a little bit, just a little bit, but it stays and it won't go nowhere. Have you ever experienced something like that that just irritates you so much? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't even look at your neighbor or your spouse, much less your kids. Have you ever had something that just irritates you so much that you wish you could just take it out? Yes. Get rid of it. Yes. It's a curse that sometimes is present and you don't realize it. And I said, Lord, I don't want no curses around me. What are you trying to show me? Thorns are a result of a curse, and they speak of one, desolation. Desolation. They are a sign of desolation. Proverbs 24:31 reads, and there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with needles. Its stone wall was broken down. Desolation. Things that you have built up, that the Lord has even built up in your life, but something has come to destroy it. Number two, deception. They are signs of cares, anxieties, and of worries. Matthew 13:7, and then verse 22. Verse 7 reads, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This particular scripture is talking about what you're hearing, but you go back into your anxieties and your cares of this world as opposed to hearing the word and trusting by faith. And what happens is your anxieties choke it out. How many of you have been anxious for some things to happen in your life? Yeah. Lord, you need to come through. Lord, I don't want my truck to get repossessed. You know, that's my sanctuary. That's the place I want to be. Don't repossess it. Lord, help me. But some things we put ourselves into, right? And when we put ourselves into, we have to follow what's going to come after it. Now, number three, the thorns also represent demonization. They are signs of demonic oppression. 2 Corinthians 12:7. 2 Corinthians 12:7. This is the Apostle Paul. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. What is that scripture telling you? There is a spiritual demonic attack that will come at you when there's some curses in your life. And you haven't yet figured it out. You've been facing it and facing it and facing it. Because you've been in the same region, in the same place for so long. It isn't until God speaks to you and tells you, now it's time to cross over. Look at your neighbor and say, now it's time. We're leaving the place of cursing. And we're going to a place of transition. All right now. The Jordan, remember they left that place and they left that region of Acacia. What is Acacia? Thorns. Okay? Now we leave that place to go down to the place of the Jordan. Has God ever told you to do something and when you get there, it doesn't look like it was God? Have you ever been someplace in your life that God has spoken to you and then you get there like this? I rebuke this in the name of the Most High God. And it don't go nowhere? It don't move. It stays there, right? Can you imagine these Israelites? Joshua's like, I've been over on the other side. I've been to Canaan. I know what it's like. He's trying to tell every single one of them, man, you should have seen the grapes we had. They were huge grapes. And I carried them like this. It took me and Caleb. We're carrying them. And you know what? Don't worry about those big guys over there. Don't worry about it. We got that. Don't worry about it. But the fruit is so big. I need you to understand. It's so beautiful. We've been in this desert. I'm tired of just dust in my sandals. And then, you know, it gets everywhere. And my sinuses are so bad. But in Canaan, oh my God, it is beautiful. You got to believe it. Can you imagine what the Israelites at this point now are saying? Man, I want to go where he's talking about. I want to go exactly where he's been before, where he has been before. See, you got to get around some people that have already crossed over before, but know how to lead a people to where they're supposed to go. But if you get around the naysayers and you get around the people that are constantly talking you down, you'll miss your crossing point. Woo-wee! Be around people that will exalt you, lift you up, and begin to speak life into you and not curse you, because where you're going, they haven't been this way before. Woo-wee! So they get to the Jordan now. And I bet you they're so hyped up. They're so hyped. You know, Josh was telling, like, you know, I tell it. And he's looking at Caleb. Caleb, remember when we were there? And Caleb like, shoo, you don't know about the stuff over there, brother. You don't know. Because, you know, they kind of got that stuff, you know, when they're talking to people, they're like, shoo, got some stuff over there. Man, I can't wait to go back. I had to wait 40 years till everybody died until, well, you know. Yeah, Theo and Theo over there, they just keep cursing God, but not me. I want to get to where I've been. I've seen it. So now these children, now of course, they're not just children, but they're growing. They're young adults. They're young adults. They're leveling up. They're getting ready to go somewhere, but they haven't been there before. They only knew the God of their fathers and their forefathers, but they were just about to experience a God for themselves. But they needed to have a generation that has been there before. See, we've had revivalists tell us what revival looks like. They've seen the outpouring of the Spirit of God. They've seen dead people raised from the grave. They've seen so many things like C.S. Lewis, Charles Spurgeon, Catherine Coleman. They've seen the revivalists of old. They watched them and they understood that the power is still there. But we have to have an understanding. We ourselves have not yet been there. And I know that if I follow after the ones that have been there before and I associate with those that are in right standing with his word, he'll get me across this place. It's who you connected with. Whoo, I mean, I like this. Some of us get connected just because mom said to get connected. Some of us get connected because grandma's been in that place for so long. There's where we're supposed to be. You got to get to where God wants you. Where he commanded you to be. Do you understand? So now here comes these youth. Level Up gets down there. And they got this old man, gray hair, receding hairline, bald spot in the back. I don't know who he's talking about, but yeah, I'm looking at you, Lita. My granddaughter back there, she'll come up next to me from behind the couch and hit my bald spot. I got you. I got you. It's all right. And then they get to the Jordan, and it's at flood stage. Can you imagine this generation looking now at those that have crossed over? So it's been raining. Watch this. And it's at flood stage. How come it wasn't raining where they were at? Sometimes God will take you someplace so you can get into the place of his rain, his abundance, and his outpouring. But you got to leave a certain place to get to that place. And once you face that place you're looking at, it may not look like what you thought. It may be even more difficult than you've ever experienced. So what happens? The Bible says that when they got there, they camped there. I bet you, just think how I look at Scripture. Because when I read the Scripture, it gets boring. And you're like, I know y'all fall asleep. You do. You try to read it before you go to bed. Fall asleep. Or get up in the morning, you're more concerned about your coffee than you are the word. Or your hot tea, whatever. Now, I start reading this, and I start thinking, I wonder how these new people that are getting ready to cross over are now looking at Joshua and Caleb. I bet you it took 3 days for them to pray and fast and say, look, we know, we heard God. We heard God to get down to this place. And what was facing right in front of us, and I bet you it was Joshua and Caleb that got together. Come here, Caleb. It's Caleb. It's Caleb. Come here, Caleb. Come here, Caleb. So Joshua and Caleb were like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to encourage them to go over to the next place? How are we going to do it? We've seen it before. We've been there before. We've seen outpouring. We've seen the presence. We have seen what God can do. We've seen healing cancer left and right. 7 testimonies. Cancer never came. We've seen it before. How are we going to tell these people that where we're going is better than where we're at? Just fast and pray. And you would think that they would hear the voice of God come in. Read what it says. It was the Levites and the priests. It's good. Just walk amongst them, baby. Just walk amongst them. Just walk. Just walk. Just walk. Just walk. Just walk through them. Walk through. Walk through. Walk through. Now watch this. Come on, Mama. Go that way, Mama. Go that way. Watch it. Go there. Go that way. Go through the aisles. Go through the aisles. This is what was happening. This is what happening. Doubt maybe have set in, but the priests, the Levites, they start going amongst the people for 3 days and they start encouraging them. Don't listen to the doubt. Don't listen to your fear. Don't look at what is presented in front of you. Look at what God is about to do, because I know the God that has power to do things that are greater than what you can do. You haven't seen it, but we've seen it. Don't doubt. So the priests and the Levites, they go to the camp. And it says in the scripture says, prepare yourself. Sanctify yourself. Sanctification means to separate from and for the use of God's purpose only. But weren't they God's people to begin with? Were they not, right? But why would the priests and the Levites tell them at this time, it's time to sanctify yourself? What is so important? That there's a time when God is getting ready to bring you out, that he's going to call you to a place in him that he can use you for his purpose. Do you understand? And it's going to require you to see him in a whole different way than what you have witnessed before. So now they go through and they tell him, prepare yourself, for in 3 days we're going to cross. Now Joshua now tells him, now you're going to go, but don't get too close to the ark. Isn't that something? The ark represents his presence. It represents the presence of God. The ark does. And he says, now I want you to let the ark go before you, and you need to have a space between you and the ark so you can see where he's leading. Because we'll have a tendency to keep focus on the thing that is keeping us from our promise, what is opposing you, what is standing against you. You put more focus on that than being led of the Spirit. When the Spirit begins to lead you, it's going to lead you right head on so he can demonstrate his power. And as long as you're following after the Holy Spirit, being led in the things that he's called you to do, then he says, what happened is they were getting ready to go into the river. The Jordan began to separate. See, now Joshua and Caleb saw that at the Red Sea. So was this something that was too difficult? No, in Joshua and Caleb's eyes, they knew. This is just water. This is just water. But the last time we crossed was the sea, the Red Sea. This is the Jordan. The Jordan is very significant. The Jordan is a place of transition. The Jordan is also a place where John the Baptist was baptizing people. Before, the baptism actually meant death, burial, and resurrection. It was for a cleansing. So he's doing that. And then here comes Jesus. Jesus himself gets into the Jordan for a cleansing. It's a renewal. It's an increase. It's knowing between good and evil. The Jordan represents the knowledge of the good and the evil that you once had, but knowing even better of what God has for you. So you have to go down and go through the Jordan so that you can come up on the other side. It represents that you're letting go of the things of the old so that you can embrace the new on the other side. So now they're walking and they're following. The people are following. It's a whole bunch of people now. They're following the ark. Then Joshua commands the priests to stop in the middle. Woo! And let the people cross. Didn't he say that let the ark go? But why is it in the middle of the process that he stops and lets the people go now? And now they have to watch the people go and now the priests are standing in the middle. Because the moment you begin to see God's hand, it changes your faith and your outlook on what was once opposing you, now is separating, so it makes a way out of no way for you. Now, their faith is so built that I'm walking on dry ground. I was just watching this river that kept me from my promised land, and now that what I'm getting ready to do, I'm seeing God do. I don't have to just wait for the priest. They're now commanding me, now you got to walk this out on your own, Lord Jesus. Now you've got to walk out knowing that you got to follow after the presence of God, follow after his spirit, be sanctified in the things I called you to do, and be diligent in doing what I told you to do. So now everybody crosses over, and guess what Joshua does? He goes back into the Jordan, and he commands them to get 12 stones, one for each tribe. And once they get over to the Jordan, they make an altar for a remembrance. Was it a remembrance for them? It was a remembrance for the generations that would come later to see we came out of a place. The hand of God split the waters of the Jordan of transition for us. That gave us the knowledge of the good that was ahead of us and gave us an understanding and revelation of what he has for us. And we went into the burial and the grave to let go of all this old stuff. So when we come up on the other side, now we're fresh and new, made new in his image. Are you seeing this? Are you ready to cross over? Are you ready to cross over? Some of the things that you've been facing in your past, it's trying to keep you from crossing over. And guess what takes you back there? Your mind. Your mind. See, when the waters begin to open up, I bet you Caleb and Joshua are saying, they got it now. Because there's no way that you and I could have done that. There's no way that they could have done that. It had to be them. Then I begin to think about, you remember when Naaman went down to the river to get cleansed? He had to dip himself 7 times in the Jordan. It represented that I'm going to get rid of all the things that have been plaguing you and has made you unclean, has made you feel like you can't get over to a new place, and that you feel that you can never come up over on the other side to succeed. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to cleanse you, and I'm going to get you there to the other side. But it requires you to be obedient, to submit. And follow after him. Are you ready to cross over? Huh? Are you ready to cross? Because it's your time. It's your season. It's your season. You've been seeking for some answers in your life. And it's your season to see with clarity and accuracy what you're to do. You've been waiting on a yes or a no from God. And God is going to speak to you and tell you, it's time to cross. It's time to cross. There's some things that I have in store for you, but you've been battling in your mind and in your heart. And trust by faith that he's going to bring you all the way through. All the way through. There's some healing. There's emotional scars that are there that are about to be healed by the very presence of God. Sometimes the fear that creeps into your mind and into your heart. Hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm going to give you that strength to overcome. I'm going to give you that strength to stand. And I'm going to give you that strength to have victory. Trust the Spirit of the living God that he's going to get you over. You'll hear your answer. You'll hear your answer. Because God answers those that are his own. Not only have you been praying, I see you walking around, I don't know why, a dining table. I see you walking around a dining table. And you're tapping it like this. You're tapping it as you're walking around it. And it's a place where you're able to just kind of get away a little bit. And your mind begins to just really focus on what you think is next, what I've got to do next. I hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm walking with you. And those walls that have been opposing you to keeping you from your place of peace and of joy are coming down. They're coming down. Amen. Hallelujah. Watch this. The Jordan denotes an initiation into the knowledge of good and truth. The boundaries of the land represents God's kingdom. And it represents that you are coming out of an old and stepping into his kingdom. And then you're not only moving into the things of the natural, but into the supernatural of God. The supernatural of God. They lodged there before they crossed over so that they can begin to inquire of God the timing, the timing, the timing. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. See, that place that they were at and just lodging there, they were inquiring, they were praying, and then they began to speak truth into people's lives. Speak truth. You can do this. Just follow after what God is doing. You can do this. When they crossed over, it was a transition to go beyond and go over, go through to the next state and set of circumstances that God has for you. Deuteronomy 8:7-9. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and the barley, of vines, fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. What he's saying, I've got all the resources you'll need for where I'm taking you. Everything you need, as long as you submit and as long as you follow after my commands, I'm bringing you all the way through. And here's what I find very interesting, that Acacia was an 8-mile journey to the Jordan, an 8-mile journey. And 8 is the number of new beginnings. It's going to require you to journey down to your new beginning. They lodged there for 3 days. Why 3 days? Because it represents the crucifixion, the burial, and resurrection. During this time, they were able to see the flood stage and be able to see the complexity of how to get over. How could they do this unless it's with God? And if it's with God, they have to put all their trust and all their faith that God will get them through, even at flood stage. Following the ark speaks of being led of the Holy Spirit, being submissive and obedient to God and his word. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we know we got to lead by the Holy Spirit. We've got to be led by him leading us that way. We have to be obedient. But then once we get there, how do we really cross over? We can cross over physically to a new place, but if we don't cross over spiritually, it's just a new place. So what I want to share with you is how we're going to cross over. What do we need to leave? What do we need to do to leave the curse and the results of sin and enter into God's promise? Number one, intimacy with God. There's a principle to that. It's being in Christ that we find that he is in us. It's to understand that intimacy is that it brings more of him that is inside of us to come forth to understand that we have him with us. Do you understand that? The more time you spend with God, whether it is in your vehicle driving to work, whether it is in your shower, whether it's in your home, whether you're working or you're doing yard work, whatever you're doing, as long as you spend time with him, he reveals how much of him is inside of you. Once you have that understanding, you realize that all of him is inside of you. Amen? Number two, faith. And there's three types of faith. There's a faith for saving, salvation. There's a faith or fruit of the Spirit, and there's a faith, the gift of the faith that gives you the ability to move mountains if you just believe. This faith was obedient to the word of God spoken to them. Though they were not told how they should cross the river, they went forward in faith. Joshua never told them how they were going to cross the Jordan. He just told them, follow the ark. Just follow the ark. Follow the leaders that I place in front of you. And if you follow them and follow where they're leading, watch what I'll do for you. But if you pick and choose what you want to do and not follow all my commands, you won't cross over. You've got to see that. Principle number two. We need to proceed as far as we can and depend upon the divine sufficiency for those things in which we find ourselves insufficient. We have to understand that his sufficiency is far greater than our insufficiencies. Whatever we're lacking, God has enough of. Amen? When you're weak, he is what? He's strong. And he is close to the brokenhearted. Do you understand? He's there to help us all the way across. The wonders. No, not the movie The Wonders, but the wonders that he's going to do. Refers to the miracles that are performed in Israel on behalf of the in Egypt and in the wilderness. It's to bring to them a greater wonder than anything else is salvation. God has come to them to show them, yes, you're facing something greater than you have ever faced in your life. But my salvation to bring you all the way through and over is far greater than anything. What he was saying is, my salvation through my son Jesus is far greater than anything else. As long as you believe and have faith that his death, burial, and resurrection and his shed blood gives you the atonement and salvation for eternal life. When they told me how simple it was to get saved, I didn't believe it. I thought I had to go do works. I thought I had to do so many works, so many outreaches, do all these kind of things just so that I could find good graces with God. And the reality is he paid the price for us so we didn't have to work at it. Because if you worked at it, that's not grace. That's your ability. You can't work for your salvation. He paid the price for your salvation. Do you understand? Number three is the purity. When he says to consecrate yourself, it's principle number three. He says the preparation for God's wonders is holiness. The response to God's wonders is praise. What shall we do when we have faced the crossings that are in our hearts, that we must be clear so that we can see where God is leading us? We have not gone this way before. We must focus our eyes, fix them on Jesus, the ark. And James 3:17 says, God's wisdom is pure. God's wisdom is pure. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He's dealing with the heart issue. He's dealing with the mind issue. And he's dealing with us getting over. He wants us to be made whole. Amen? The other is, number four, unity. They had to obey his commands together as one. Can you imagine those that were first going with the priests and following after them? When they got to the river, they probably stepped back a little bit and said, I'm not going in there. But it wasn't until they began to see that the waters crossed that they said, something has taken place and I can go in. When God begins to do a work inside of you and a work for you, you're going to see the workings of his hand. If you have the faith to follow it all the way through, you'll see it on the other side. But you can't give up midstream. You can't give up mid-process. You can't quit during the process. And the trick of the enemy is to come in to make you quit because it's too hard, it's too tough, it's too unbearable. The thorns are something that you remember from your past, that you remember what you were going through for so long, that it's made you become bitter and just aggravated and to the point that you can no longer rejoice in what he's already doing right now at this very moment. And what happens is we get so caught up in the things that have had us so bound in even anger, bitterness, and unbelief, that we don't see the goodness that God has right in front of us. See, your best and your blessed days are still ahead of you. It's not behind you. It's not even of your right now. It's still ahead of you. What you're experiencing today is God's grace and his mercy. And he has more for you that if you continue on by faith, even when you don't want to, even when it feels like it's too hard, even when you feel like you're going to quit and give up, you got to continue on fighting the good fight of faith. You can't just fight and not have faith behind the fight that you have. You got to continue on. How many of you have actually gone through that season in your life where you feel like, I just can't even pray anymore? Come on now. Is it just me? All right. Be real with yourself. I know you've been there before because we all go through it. We get to the point we get so weak and we get so tired that I can't go on no more. I need to have God intervene on my behalf. And then all of a sudden God shows up and he begins to send the working power in your area of your needs. And he begins to move things out of the way because he's trying to get you that place of wholeness. But if you don't apply his word and get into that intimate relationship with him, you'll never experience the fullness that he has for you. Woo! I mean, are you hearing this? We can go through the process. We can go through all these types of rituals, but never experience the fullness of what he has unless we spend time with the Lord. Trust his word from beginning to end. If he tells you to go someplace and do it, are you going to do it? Even when it doesn't look favorable? Yeah, fear will keep you. Fear will keep you from getting into that place. And fear is not in the heart. Fear is in the mind. You know, that book, that Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Myers. How many of you read that? A lot of you read it, right? How many times do you face fear? Quite often. Quite often. But you know that that's where the enemy plays with you. So I quit playing. Remember, Lionel, we used to have some, you know, we used to go down the tracks by memos, grandmothers. We used to jump on the train and write it down. Okay. Now, we would walk by the train. We would walk by the train and go to the next place. But there were some kids that were older than us, and then we'd always have rock fights. Remember that? They'd throw rocks at us. So one day we just chose to go a different route. Guess what? The rock stopped. Simplified. It's simple. Make a choice. Quit going down and say, maybe they won't throw rocks at me today. If you're going that way and they're there, guess what? Rocks are coming. It's simplified. Go a different route. It was simple. True story. True story. I don't know if you were there. My cousin, he was there a lot of times with us. Your sons were there. This is when they were building the community center. We're at Memo's house. My grandmother's house, their mom's house. And it was at night. We went across. I was not supposed to go. Wasn't supposed to go, and I went. It was nighttime. And we had a rock fight. Remember, they were building the community center and had all those hills with rocks? So we had a rock battle. We were throwing rocks. Wasn't supposed to be there. So when anything goes wrong, who does it happen to? Gordo gets it every time. So what happens? A rock comes and hits me right on my nose. I'm bleeding. I'm just bleeding. So I'm going back with the shirt over my nose. And I'm not crying until I see mom. How many of you been there? When you get hurt, you're not crying until you go see the mom that is really going to hurt you. Get them, manda. Who sent you over there? Who told you to go over there? So I go there, and I take this thing out, blood coming down. Now I'm crying because I'm standing in front of my mom. And now she's telling me. And now I'm so scared, like something's really going to happen. I should, Lord, just take me now, rapture me now. But if I just listen to the authority, listen to mama, because mama knows best. So some of you level up teenagers in here. Try to hide things from mama. Guess what, Michael, what happens? Mama always finds out. Mamas always know. Amen. I don't hear you level up. I don't hear you teenagers. They know. You think you have everything hidden. They know. Follow after the authority. listen to the authority. And guess what happens? Success on the other side. Amen. We have to get to that place where he wants us to be and go down the route that he has prepared for you. It may not be the one that you would have chosen. 9 times out of 10, it's never what you would have chosen. You want me to do what? You want me to start a church? Está loco. There's no way I'm starting a church. Crazy bait. I feel like the Lord wants me to do a church. She's like, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. That's not the Lord. Mom, I feel the Lord. She says, yeah, the Lord wants you to start a church. Well, how'd you know? And we fought it, didn't we not? We're like, no, we ain't doing this. Uh-uh. We are not doing this. We're not doing this. And don't get it twisted. Yeah, don't get so over-spiritual like, Pastor, you didn't want the call. If you know the cost and you consider the cost, you weigh out the cost. Oh, Lord. You're like, I ain't doing this. Mm-mm. I ain't doing this. And then we happen to have someone staying with us for a season. Says, the Lord's telling me that you're supposed to start in a hotel. Oh, you need to just hush right now in the name of Jesus. This is not God. And everything begins to unfold right before your eyes. This is what you need to do. If you just trust me in it, I'll take you places. Oh, we can't do this. Michael, we got to use your DJ equipment. Michael, we got to use your truck. Oh, Lord, how are we going to do this? Where are we going to do it? The hotel opens up, just like they said. The house of manna was already selected. Things just fall into place when you start to obey. My wife calls me. She says, are you not doing something you're supposed to do? Yeah. Are you Jonah? Yeah. You need to start the church? Okay. I'll do it now. Lord, you heard my prayer. I'm scared. Do it afraid. Do it afraid. Trust me. How do you think Peter felt when I told him to come? And he stepped out of the boat. And he stepped into something that he knows he should have done. But felt like he couldn't do it. But the moment his first step hit that water and he didn't sink, he had enough faith to take the next step. Then the next step. Because he was focused on the Lord. But it isn't until you take your eyes off of Jesus that you realize it's only because of him and not yours. It's not your efforts. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please.